Then there's Yod. Y-O-D. It has the English equivalent of the letter Y and the number 10. It means open hand. Well, literally it means hand by itself, but it is an open hand in particular. The astrological attribution is Virgo. Its function is sexuality. An interesting function for something that's associated with Virgo. By the way, I'm going to add a second function. This is not standard. There's a reason why some of the letters have double functions and some of them have single ones. This is not supposed to be a double function, but I'm going to give it to you anyway because it's appropriate, and this has the additional function of touch. It's the fifth sense. The intelligence is the intelligence of will. The number is 20, and the trump is the hermit. The next letter is Kaph, C-A-P-H, and it has the sound of K, the number 20. It means fist, or closed hand. The astrological attribution is Jupiter. There's a double function of riches and poverty. It's the conciliating intelligence.
Can you spell that, Walt?
C as in Charlie, O, N as in Nancy, C-I-L-I-A-T-I-N-G. It is path number 21, and it's the Wheel of Fortune. The next letter is Lamed, L-A-M-E-D. It has the sound of L. And the number 30.
Number 30.
30. Remember, the numbers went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Then it's 20 and 30, and you'll see it continues to go on up as double digits. So the Lamed is 30. And it means, curiously enough, ox goad. O-X, the animal ox, and it's a goad, G-O-A-D. It's a pointy stick that you stick in the rear end of an ox to make it move forward when it's stubborn. And the astrological attribution of this is Libra. And the function is work. It's the faithful intelligence. It's path number 22. And its trump is justice. Think about that for a moment. The idea that justice is an ox goad, a pointy stick to jab in somebody's rear end to make them move forward when they don't want to. The next letter is Mem, M-E-M. The letter is M. The number is 40. It means water. Its astrological attribution is the element water. And because it's an element, it doesn't have a function, so you can put a dash where function is. It's the stable intelligence, S-T-A-B-L-E, stable intelligence. Path number 23, the hangman. Next is Nun, N-U-N. N as in Nancy, U, N as in Nancy. It has the sound of an N. The number is 50. It means fish. And its astrological attribution is Scorpio. Its function is movement. It's the imaginative intelligence. It's path number 24, and you probably can guess what trump it is. Anybody?
Death
indeed. Death is Scorpio. Next letter is Samach. S as in Sam, A, M as in Mary, E, K, H. Samach. It's the sound of S and the number 60. It means a tent peg.
A what?
Tent peg, or a prop.
Oh, tent peg, okay.
Do you have the actual letter, the Hebrew letter, out where you can see it?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, you see it's in the form of a circle, somewhat circular. And you know that when you put up a tent and you put tent pegs in the ground, usually the tent has a circular, like a grommet that you put over the peg to hold it down. That's what this is. It's a support for an entire structure. Its astrological attribution is Sagittarius. Its function is anger. And the original word that they used instead of anger was wrath. But I'm going to use the word anger here because it's simpler and more usable. Not exactly the same as wrath, but close enough. Its intelligence is the probationary intelligence. It's the number 25 and the trump, temperance. The next letter is ion, A-Y-I-N. It's a silent letter. It has no sound at all. Its number is 70. And it means eye, like the eye in your head, the eye you see with. Anybody have any idea what the trump would be on this one?
The devil.
The devil, it is. You can put that in now, even though it's out of order. Put it in the proper column. I mention it here because the devil is considered to be the lord of what is visible, the lord of appearances. So you see that the letter is connected by means of the meaning with its interpretation as the lord of the world of appearances. Its astrological attribution is Capricorn. The function is laughter. Just like anger was wrath originally, laughter was originally understood to be mirth. But once again, I'm using laughter because it's more intense and it is more immediately usable. If you see it in other books of attributions, realize that they're the same thing, essentially. It's the renovating intelligence. Renovating. R-E-N-O-V-A-T-I-N-G. It means renewal. It is the intelligence by which things are made fresh and new again. A very odd thing, wouldn't you think, for the devil? 26 is the path. The devil puts the flesh on the bones. Death strips the flesh from the bones, and the devil puts it back. The next letter is pay. The letter is P. Its number is 80, and it means mouth. Its astrological attribution is Mars, and it has a double function: indignation and grace. It's the exciting intelligence. Path number 27, and the trump is the tower. Do you see
what is the sound?
The sound is P, as in Peter.
Okay.
Next we go to Tzaddi. T-Z-A-D-D-I. It has the sound of a T-S, tss, as though you were to say something like pets. The T-S and pets would be the sound of this. It's a T-S sound. Or if it were at the beginning of the word, you know the Russian Tsar, the ruler of Russia once upon a time was called a Tsar, and it was spelled T-S-A-R. So it's the T-S sound. And it has the number 90, and it means fish hook. The astrological attribution is Aquarius. The function is imagination. The intelligence is the natural intelligence. Its path number is 28, and the trump is the star. The next letter is Kof, Q-O-P-H. The sound is K-H. For those of you who can't imagine what K-H would sound like, imagine that the K was the end of one word and the H was the beginning of another word. Imagine you said sick horse. It's a K-H sound, and it's actually two sounds. Most of the time, people use it as a straight sounding K. But if you were going to be very precise about it, it would be that combination of K and H. The number is 100, and it means the back of the head. Its astrological attribution is Pisces. The function is sleep, It's the corporeal intelligence. C-O-R-P-O-R-E-A-L. Path number 29. The moon. The next letter is Resh. R-E-S-H. The sound is R. The number is 200. You notice we went from 100 now to 200. It means the front of the head. I'm going to give you another meaning for it. It also means the beginning. How many of you are familiar with the Hebrew phrase Rosh Hashanah?
I've heard of it.
Right. Rosh Hashanah is a holiday, and it literally means the new year. Rosh means the beginning. Hashanah means the year. So Rosh means the beginning. Its astrological attribution is the sun. Its function is a double function: fertility and barrenness. Its intelligence is the collecting intelligence. Path number 30. And the trump is the sun. The next letter is shin. S-H-I-N. It has the sound of SH. The number is 300, and it means tooth. If you take a look at the letter, you'll see how apt that is. Its astrological attribution is the element of fire. And because it's an element, it does not have a function. So you can place a dash in the functions column. The intelligence is the perpetual intelligence. The path number is 31, and the trump is judgment.
Thank you.
The last letter is Tav. T as in Thomas, A, V as in Victor, Tav. It has the sound of the letter T, the number 400. It means cross, usually meant to mean an equal arm cross or a Tav cross, which is a cross that where it's like it looks like a T. Actually, a T is a Tau cross. It has the astrological attribution of Saturn. Its function is another double function: power and servitude. Now, interesting thing is that under certain circumstances, servitude, which usually means being kind of in slavery, it becomes service instead, depending on where in the process of your spiritual development you are. I just mentioned that because many people have no idea why that word servitude should even be there. Its intelligence is the administrative intelligence. The number is 32, and the trump is the world. Good. That was a long list. There is so much there, guys, to contemplate. It could take you 10 years to really absorb that and to make that useful for yourself. Even if you had somebody to teach it to you, even if you had books to read about it, and even if you practiced with it, it would take a long, long, long time to integrate all the stuff that's contained in that little list. That's why I told you at the beginning that it was just data, and it hasn't even become information yet. But don't get nervous and don't get worried. It's just one of those things. It takes a while. So, at this point, having written this partial list of attributions, you're aware, hopefully, that a language can speak on many levels. And remember, this is the alphabet of Hebrew. This is actually a language, and it has all of these qualities to it, and it's part of the spoken language, it's part of the literature, it's part of biblical interpretation, and it is what makes Kabbalah, Kabbalah. And it eventually makes Tarot, Tarot. Remember that Tarot is also a language, and it's just like that. It's a language that you can speak, a language that you can think, a language that you can write, and it's a language in many, many layers and levels. Of course, you're aware of it, but unless I'm mistaken, you don't really kind of get yet what all this is about or how to use it. But I might be mistaken. Sometimes I get arrogant when I think I'm just being sensible. Do any of you feel actually comfortable and complete with these attributions?
No.
Anybody at all? Anybody care to say yes?
I said yes.
Okay, good. That's Helena, right? Yeah, well, Helena speaks Hebrew, and so much of this is known to her already, although how to use it in tarot probably is not.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, it's not a problem, regardless of where you stand with this, because eventually it will get there. All the stuff, as I said before, right now is just data. Just a list of more or less interesting words.
So, Walt, this is Martha. So Hebrew is like a magical language?
Very much so. There are actually a few languages like that in the world where the letters have that quality. There's a couple of others. But this is the one we're dealing with, and this is one of the primal ones. So it absolutely is like that. And be aware that biblical interpretation, which is, of course, a huge field all by itself and concerns many people, is very, very much based on interpretation of the letters and how to use them. And Kabbalah does a tremendous amount of work with this stuff.
Well, I have to ask, since you mentioned, which are the other two languages?
Well, one of them is Sanskrit.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think of what the other one would be offhand. I don't really know. I can't think of it. It just kind of slips my mind, but Sanskrit stays in. I know that Sanskrit has levels like that.
Okay.
Greek does too, to some extent, not as much as Hebrew does.
I'm going to say maybe Latin.
I don't think Latin has those levels and layers of meaning. The letters are just the letters. I don't think they really have magical aspects. In Greek, they do, but not as many. At least I'm not aware of as many levels of interpretation, but they do have some. Unfortunately, I'm not a scholar in those matters, so I'm really only familiar with this. But anyway, to turn all of this data, all this beautiful list of interesting words into usable information, it does take time and effort, and it's going to go slowly, and it's best if it goes slowly. It's sort of like, you know, like a gourmet dish that you have to cook over a low flame, and you have to stir it a lot. So, you know, don't be in a hurry, just easy does it. Just be aware that it exists, and little bit by little bit, it'll get there. So, as much as we've given you, we're not finished yet. We're going to add some more ingredients to this slow-cooking dish. There's another whole huge chunk of data that I'm going to throw into the pot. So, do all of you have your nice, fresh Tree of Life diagram handy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good. The time has come now to place the trumps on the Tree of Life. All the stuff that we've talked about, all those letter attributions and everything, we're now going to hang them on the tree like ripe fruit, just ready to be plucked and tasted. The tree is where they're going to show up. So, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to label the sephirot, and I'm going to tell you what I want you to put there. In the middle of the circles, nothing on the outside, just in the middle, I want you to write the English word for each sephira, and I'm going to give them to you in order, and I want you to write them in. And in addition to the English word, I want you to put the number. So I'm going to give you the number first. No, I'll give you the English word first, and then I'll give you the number. Write the English word in the middle of the sephira, and the number right above it, but inside the circle. So the first sephira is crown, and it's the number one. The second sephira is wisdom, number two. Sephira number three is understanding. Number four is mercy. Number five is severity. Number six is beauty. Number seven is victory. Number eight is splendor. Number nine is foundation. And number 10, I'm going to give you a slightly different word for it than is usually used. It's sovereignty. Instead of kingdom, which it usually is translated as, it's sovereignty. Now here's where you're going to need your straight edges, because I'm going to want you to draw the lines, and I'm going to tell you how to label those lines. And I want you to write very neatly and very small, because there's a lot of information. I want you to listen to what I tell you before you draw anything. Listen to all the instructions so you don't get it wrong, because once you've started making mistakes, it's kind of hard to see what you're doing anymore. So I want you to take your straight edge, and I want you to draw a line between crown and wisdom, one and two. It's a diagonal line on the right-hand side of the tree at the top. At the center of that line, on the outside of it, put the number 11. Make a dash next to the 11 and put the word fool. This is the location of path number 11, the fool. Remember I told you that each one of the paths is the experience of a journey between two amazing places. This is an example of that. This is the journey of the fool between crown and wisdom. This path, this is the experience of all the attributions of Aleph, everything we just talked about, the scintillating intelligence, the element of air, all those things. A lot of the things I didn't even mention yet. This line between two circles on this diagram, this alone is worthy of years of contemplation. The magical work of experiencing this little line in its fullness, that's what's called pathworking. And as you draw in the remaining paths, I want you to be aware that the same thing is true for each of them. And the ultimate task of the tarot adept, which may eventually be you, is to travel all of these paths from end to end. It's a very humbling thought. Now I want you to draw a line from a crown to understanding, from 1 to 3.
What do you mean to travel?
Ah, that's a very interesting question. What do I mean to travel?
That physical?
To travel, it means to experience all of its implications in its fullness, to actually know in your body, in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, what it is to make the journey between crown and wisdom, let's say, if that's the path you're traveling. To know what crown is, to know what wisdom is, and to know how you get from one to the other. It can be a life's work to do this. But the line from crown to understanding, from 1 to 3, I want you to put the number 12 on the outside center of the line. Put a dash next to it, and next to the dash, write magician. Now I want you to draw a straight line, a long line. This is the longest path on the tree, from crown to beauty, from 1 to 6, straight down the center of the tree. In the middle of that line, right alongside it, to the right-hand side of the line, I want you to write the number 13, just running down along the line. And next to that, put a dash, and then the word priestess. So I want you to write the word priestess running right along the line vertically. Do that sort of in the middle. Here is where lines begin to cross, and you have to be careful when you write. I've worked this out so that it is as visually clear as I think it can get. So if you follow my instructions, you'll end up with a good diagram. The next line, the next path, is from 2 to 3, from wisdom to understanding. That's path number 14. Now it crosses the path of the priestess. So right across where the line of the priestess goes, right at that center point, I want you to write the word empress. Write this above the line. In other words, this is a horizontal line, so rather than writing below it, write it above it. Write it on top of the line, as though you were writing on a line. So it's number 14, Empress. Path number 15 goes from wisdom to beauty. It's a long diagonal on the right-hand side of the tree. On the outside of the line, write the number 15. Put a dash next to it. And write Emperor. That's the location of the Emperor on the tree. So the path of the Emperor is the experience of the journey between wisdom and beauty. The words are so suggestive that almost by themselves they can wake something up in you. Now the next path is a short one between wisdom and mercy. A short vertical line on the right-hand side of the tree. In the middle of the line, on the outside of the line, write the number 16, followed by a dash, followed by the word Hierophant. Now we go to the other side of the tree, a diagonal line running from understanding to beauty, from 3 to 6. On the inside of that line, closer to the center, write the number 17 dash lovers. Then we draw a vertical line on the left-hand side of the tree from number 3 to number 5, from understanding to severity. At the center of that line on the outside, write the number 18 dash chariot. Now there comes a long horizontal line from number 4 to number 5, from mercy to severity. This is path number 19, strength. Write both 19 and strength on top of the line, right in the middle, so the word strength will cross the line of the priestess. Path number 20 is the diagonal line from mercy to beauty. Its number is 20-hermit, and I want you to write that just below the diagonal line running along it. Now a vertical line, a vertical path, from mercy to victory. On the outside of that line, write 21-wheel. Now you'll know that the wheel means wheel of fortune, but we don't have to write the whole thing out. Going across the tree, we make a diagonal line from severity to beauty. And that is path number 22-justice. Write that below the line. Be aware as you write this that this is the path of justice, and that justice is the experience of the journey between beauty and severity. It's an amazing thought. Next path is a vertical path between severity and splendor, between 5 and 8. Right in the center of the line on the outside, 23-hangman. Now we do a diagonal line from beauty to victory, from 6 to 7. Just above the line, in the center of that line, it's number 24-death. Now we have a short vertical line from beauty to foundation, from 6 to 9. On the right-hand side of that line, write the number 25-. And on the left-hand side of the line, write temperance. Now we have a long horizontal line from victory to splendor, 7 to 8. On the left-hand portion of that line, you'll see that the line is divided up. There is a crossing piece for the path of temperance, but on the left-hand side of that, write number 27-tower. That'll make the path number clear and it won't interfere with temperance. The next path is from 7 to 9, from victory to foundation. Above the line, running along it, write the number 28-star. You know what I forgot? I forgot the devil. My goodness, I forgot path number 26.
Going to say, what happened?
Yeah, well, somebody pointed it out to me, so here we go. Okay, it was looking a little bit awkward there, wasn't it? Not quite symmetrical. Okay, path number 26 runs from beauty to splendor, from 6 to 8. And write 26-devil. So realize that the devil is the path from splendor to beauty. If the devil is the experience of that journey, what might that be? Would give you a different idea of what the devil was about, I think.
Sounds pretty good.
Yes, it does, but it's an amazing path, and one day we'll do a path working class and you'll see what that's like. I really love that particular section with death and the devil and the tower and all those things. Very interesting little group of things. Anyway, we are now at the path between victory and sovereignty. Long diagonal on the right-hand side of the tree, and it is path number 29-moon. Write that along the inside of the line. The next path runs between splendor and foundation. A short diagonal on the left-hand side. Above the line, write sun. The next to the last path in the tree runs between splendor and sovereignty, between 8 and 10, a long diagonal. On the inside of that line, write 31-judgment. And the last path runs between foundation and sovereignty, short vertical line. Write 32 on the right-hand side of the line and world on the left-hand side.